E2. Number 1B.
Then you would put horizontally above, right above that checklist, you would put the various shops like this. So take your first checklist and make vertical lines so that you get 6 columns. So take your first sheet of paper and draw now 6 vertical lines for the shops. Now you can enter on that horizontal line, which you have left open before, the shops. So you have in the first column, say, the general store, then second, the dairy, third, the butcher, then fourth, the stationery shop, then fifth, the chemist, and sixth, the market. All right. Now, in order to organize your shopping so that you don't forget things and always think, say, we could have 150 items and 27 shops where you buy your things, and then it becomes very intricate, and then you can't keep that anymore in your memory, and you have to use an adequate method for handling this activity. Then, what do you do before you go shopping? You check then in those 6 columns, just with a check mark, where you will buy your items. So there is milk, and you would buy it where? In the dairy. So you make in that little box there, under dairy, a check mark. And so we are going through that whole list of those goods and make check marks. You'll get your ham at the butcher. You make a check mark. Your pencil at the stationery. You make a check mark. Your soap, perhaps at the chemist. So you make there your check mark. Your vegetables, I think, at the market. Check mark. Then your sugar at the general store, your butter at the dairy, your bread at the, let's say, at the general store, fruit you would get in the market, you put it there into the last column, scotch tape at the stationery, eggs, I think, at the dairy shop, sausage at the butcher, toothbrush, I guess, at the chemist, and the soup, perhaps, again, at the general store. Now, what did we gain by doing that? We gained some rational way of handling this activity, because in this way we can see that if we go to the general store, we would not have to go through the whole list of goods. We only would have to go through that column of the general store and see where we have a check mark, and we would see there that we have to buy sugar, bread, and soup. So instead of having to go through a list of 14 items, you only have to go through 3. You reduce your system, so to say, to that which is necessary, and become much more rational in your concept, so at once you see what to buy and how many items to buy at the general store. And so it is when you go to the dairy, you at once see that you have to buy there 3 items and what they are, and the butcher 2 items, and the stationery shop 2 things, and the chemist 2 things, and at the marketplace 2 things. So, can you see the reduction to simplicity that we already get here in that very simple matrix? This is already a matrix. With that, I have said practically everything about matrix fundamentally. namely, that the matrix is something, now, that the matrix is nothing else but to take two categories, just two categories, and investigate the relationship between the two categories. Here, you have those two categories. And the way one symbolizes those two categories is by indicating on the upper left corner, which up to now in your list is still open, that you indicate in your upper left corner by putting into that upper left corner a diagonal that goes from the top of the left to the point where those two categories come together. You draw a diagonal, which, by the way, has nothing to do later on with the diagonal of the matrix. And right above that descending line, the category of all those items which you have there on the top line, namely the shops. You have the shops there, and in those six columns you have the names of those shops. So you see one thing, and never forget these things that I say now in the first 2 hours. They are so fundamental and so simple that you are not allowed to forget it for a whole week, so that I don't have to go back and back and back to it. Now, a category includes items of that category. A general store has very little to do, say, with a marketplace, and yet both have one common denominator. They are both places where you can buy goods. They are shops. So all those six terms, like general store, dairy, butcher, stationery shop, chemist, market, all can be put under one category, namely shops. Again, you have the reduction of many things into one. Again, a great economization. You economize by reducing six into one, namely the one category called shops. Now, under that diagonal line on that upper left corner, you write the general term for the category of your goods. And so underneath are, as they are put here on the left-hand side of your paper, the goods. So that little upper corner gives us actually the most fundamental information about the matrix, about what is afterwards in that whole array. Namely, it gives you two terms. First, the category above the line is the category of those verticals. And now you have to be careful. At the beginning, we have here a little difficulty. That which is written horizontally on the top of your list, horizontally, are actually the verticals, because they go vertically down as columns. So what you write horizontally on the top really indicates your vertical columns. So don't mix up vertical and horizontal. I will go over that again, and then from that point on, we are no more allowed to mix up horizontals and verticals, just because on the paper they are written the other way around. So what is written above that diagonal line indicates the category of what you have written horizontally, and they are the columns, the verticals. And what you have written below that diagonal line are the goods, which you have written down on that left-hand side, and therefore we will have to call them afterwards the horizontals. So don't get mixed up at this very moment. But later on, we'll see that very clearly. Now, see the whole rest. Besides this frame of the category 1, that is the shops, and the category 2, that is the goods, all the rest that you have now on your sheet of paper is called the array of a matrix. So all these entries that you have as those check signs are within the array of the matrix, and therefore are that which give us the elements of that matrix, the information, really, of that matrix. You can be quite sure I will go over it in various ways, so that there is no need to get disturbed about it all. Therefore, I can reduce the whole array, which would have, now, how many things do we have here? How many goods? 14. We have 14 items, 6 possibility of having a check sign. 14 times 6 equals 84 is already quite a big number, and you can reduce that just to 14 and 6, and those you can reduce to 2, namely to 2 categories. Can you see what the matrix wants to do? Right up to now already, it is a great help to reduce a very complex subject to simplicity. Yes? And that is always a means of understanding a subject better. We can understand a subject better when it is simple than when it is complex and complicated. It shows right here with this simple example that this method has a great advantage, that it helps you to arrange your activities more economically. Namely, that when you go to the individual shops, you see in one view which items you have to buy there. You don't have to worry about all the others. So out of 14 in the first shop, you only have to consider 3, and you don't have to go through the whole list anymore. You can even use such a matrix in an even more rational way and even exclude another error. Namely, you could say to yourself, because you know where those shops are in the village, you could figure out for yourself which way is the shortest way in order to cover all the 6 shops, so that you don't have to go zigzagging through the town, or that you zig and forget to zag. You put the shops down in the order of the shortest way from one to the other. When you know what is the most economical way, say it is in the order I've put them down here, so the order in the columns can further economize your time and energy. Can you see that order is a terrific power, that order is a great help? Now, when you look into some of these thick books on business management and things like that, which over 400 or 500 pages give you nothing but matrices after matrices after matrices, with which to gain a complete overall view of perhaps a big corporation, then you realize that matrix work is a very fine way of organizing your activities. And when we translate it to the science of being, it is a fine way of getting shortcut information in the best way possible, getting clear-cut understanding of that immensity of ideas and possibilities of ideas that are in the infinite realm of being. Yes? Well, this is an example how we could use in everyday life matrix work. I hope I have brought home what matrix work could do. So I take another example that is perhaps much more adapted to the businessman. And we take a second example, and therefore you take another loose leaf page, and I first state to you the problem. Again, I put it into such a simple way that it is easily understood. Let's say the problem is the following. Say, we would have a little factory. Not even a factory, say a workshop. A little workshop like what you call it, a furniture factory. I think you call it a cabinet maker. Let's just imagine that we have a little workshop, and in that workshop we have four workers. Just four workers. But all over the place in that workshop are very nice, efficient machines. And let's say we have seven different machines for different purposes, and that each machine needs some skill in order to work with that machine. Further, let's suppose that not each worker can handle every one of the seven machines. So we have four workers and we have seven machines. And we would like to see if we have organized our business economically or stably so that it is sound. Therefore, we must see if the organization of relationships between those four workers and those seven machines is healthy or not. We can do that with a matrix. You see, we have again two categories. Here, the one category is workers. The second category is machines. These are the two categories. And the workers have a relationship with those machines. And in order to see if that relationship is well organized or not, I can see that very quickly through making a matrix. Therefore, what we would have to do is the same thing as before, to build a matrix where we would have four vertical columns for the workers and seven horizontal lines for the seven machines, like this. I project it. And we name now the workers A, B, C, and D. And the machines we just enumerate as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. So take the time and copy this framework. Now we define our two categories by putting into the left upper corner our index, by drawing that descending line, that diagonal line, and put on the top of that line workers, which would indicate that what is written horizontally on the top as A, B, C, and D are workers. And under that diagonal line, we write machines in order to indicate what you have beneath it, namely seven machines, 1 to 7. And so we want to see if our arrangement and organization of the workshop is healthy. And we do that again by evaluating what is the relationship of each worker with all the seven machines. If he is able to handle the machine, we make perhaps a cross in that box. So if he can handle it, we make a cross. If he cannot handle it, let's say we make a little circle, like a note. So I indicate to you, and please concentrate so we don't lose too much time. I dictate now to you, because, say, I would know those workers and the machines that they can do. And so I would take always first the vertical as the line of reasoning. Therefore, I would go to the worker A and indicate in those little boxes below, either with a cross when yes, or with a circle when no, whether he can handle the machine or not. So, don't look now at the screen. Look now on your matrix, which you have made, and I go down from the top and say, A, worker A, can handle machine 1. So you put a cross into A box. He can handle machine 2, a cross, but he cannot handle 3, a circle. He cannot handle 4, circle, but he can handle 5, a cross, but not 6, a circle, but he can handle 7, a cross. Now we go to the next worker, B. I know that B cannot handle machine 1, nor can he handle 2, but he can 3. He cannot handle 4. He cannot handle 5, but he can 6, and he can 7. Did I go too fast? No. Okay. We go to the worker C and go down. C can handle 1. He can handle 2. He can handle 3 and 4 and 5, but not 6, but he can 7. Now we go to the last vertical, to the worker D, and he can handle 1 and 2 and 3, but not 4. He can handle 5, but not 6. He can handle 7. And so we would have put first our data into that matrix. So you see, usually in building a matrix, and I say usually because we'll see there is also another method, but usually you go out first from two categories, whatever those categories are. Here, they are the category workers and the category machines. Then the next step is to define the relationship of category 1 to category 2, the way we have been doing right now, and indicate through some kind of symbol. You could write in yes or no. You can put a symbol in it, as here, a cross or a note. Sometimes you have 3 or 4 values, you see. Sometimes you have a value, say yes, and sometimes no, and sometimes a third, like indifferent. There are many ways of valuing it. But what you do, you see, is that you put into the array of the matrix your values. And so we have the necessary basis, really, for reasoning further.